The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 8. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Leo Sowers, your host of the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with the Liberty Dog himself, Gino. And before we jump into the episode and the meat of the episode, I want to start off with reminding you guys that there is a Coffee Break Liberty store at coffeebreakliberty.com. At this store, you're going to find, well, mugs, laptop cases, phone cases, other cases, bunch of cool stuff. Mostly mugs, though. So I want to encourage you to go to the coffeebreakliberty.com store and get some cool mugs with, you know, the Coffee Break Liberty logo, some other libertarian-esque and anarchist-type logos on other mugs. And if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com and wait around for about 10 to 15 seconds, you'll get hit with a banner to sign up for the newsletter. And when you sign up for that newsletter, not only will you probably never get a newsletter because I've still not sent one out, but you'll get right then and there a 10% off discount code of your first order off the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So go check it out and get yourself a mug. The first topic I want to discuss today is the deaths from the COVID vaccine. You know, the ones that you can't find easily, the ones you have to dig for. Well, the CDC is now posting them on their website, and as of this recording on March 20th, the updated data goes back to March 15th, there are over 1,900 deaths related to the COVID vaccines in the United States. Out of all those distributed, which is something like 100 million or something crazy like that, I'm just pulling that number out of thin air, really, but I do remember the percentage because I got it in front of me. It's 0.0018% mortality rate from the vaccine. So just keep that in mind. You know, these are the guys that are so on top of it, the experts that were never going to let us down and never put out a vaccine that wasn't safe, that was supposed to protect us. And I've said it before, I do think the vaccine will be a net benefit. But if your survival rate of the virus is 99.97% and you might die from the vaccine at 0.0018%. You know, you're just splitting hairs. Like, these are rounding errors. But yet we're still in lockdown in many places. Still restrictions going on in many places around the US. I'm in San Antonio. Luckily for us, it seems to pretty much be open. Movie theaters still aren't open though. Not all of them yet. But capacity limits seem to have totally gone. Some businesses are still requiring you to wear a mask. Most businesses that I've seen. But just up the road in Austin, it still sounds like masks are everywhere still. And capacity limits are still low. You know, that's only an hour and 15 minutes away from me. And I know some people that this is reaching, that's where you live. You live in a place like that, where you're still restricted by the government, not the virus, remember. The virus didn't do this. This was the government. These are the people that, you know, we got to elect, right? These are the people that you got to put your check mark next to or maybe next to somebody else because they were going to do the best job. They were going to do the best job. They've kept people out of work for a year now. A year. That's right. This last week is the one-year anniversary of 15 days to stop the spread. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you, government, for that insanity. While there are still places locked down, essentially. Not as much as it was, right? But there are still places where capacity limits. You can't dine indoors in some places still. Crazy curfew hours still. Because, you know, the virus just goes out at night. You're not really what it is the government does not think you're responsible enough to make wise decisions after 8 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Don't even think about 11 p.m. There's no way they're going to let you stay out that late. because you don't know what's best for you. Only the government knows what's best for you. Don't you guys forget it. These people know how to run your life. Don't believe them? Just ask them. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Because they've been telling us all for a year now. Really longer. But we've seen it now in full force for 52 weeks. 15 days to stop the spread turned into 52 weeks for some people. Some people are still out of work from all this. Some people's wages are just decimated. For example, Ohio just earlier this month has now opened up to 25% for some venues and 30% capacity for others. But if it's a wedding reception, yeah, you're still out of luck. If it's a wedding reception in Ohio, you still have to remain in place. If it's a wedding reception in Ohio, the guests must remain seated at all times. Food must be served to people at their seats, and masks must be worn except when eating and drinking. Because, you know, it's not like weddings are important parts of people's lives or anything. So let's ensure that the gathering among family members and friends is just made as unbearable as possible. Now you have to sit down. You cannot get out of your chair at their wedding reception. What the heck is going on in these places? This is still going on in parts of the country. You don't see it here in Texas. So it's kind of rose-colored glasses here, right? We get to see all the good stuff. You know, everything's almost, like I said, it's almost all the way open here. Capacity limits are lifted. Now it's up to the restaurants, which the way it always should have been, right? It always should have been left to the restaurants, left to the restaurant owners, the bar owners, the venue owners. Not some government stooge that in Texas, for example, can live hundreds of miles away. Hundreds. Maybe even thousands. Well, maybe a thousand. I don't know. It's a big state. Definitely hundreds. These government experts that have been wrong the entire time, by the way. 15 days to slow the spread. They didn't do anything. Did nothing. You don't use a 15-day lockdown like that for a virus that sticks around and lingers that long. 15-day lockdowns work for things like Ebola, which are real quick acting, not the coronavirus. But hey, I'm no health expert, so what the heck would I know? I can just read data and understand that this didn't work and then learn why it didn't work. But like I said, what do I know? I'm not an expert. It's not like all the experts have been wrong the entire time. But back to the original point, the vaccines that we were all told were going to be so safe for us. Now, to be fair, I don't have the numbers for the other vaccines. They're not allowing us to compare it to other vaccines. I don't know where to get that data. It's hard to come by. If somebody knows where that data is, please send it to me. I would love to compare this rate of fatalities, sadly, of people losing their lives to this vaccine as opposed to others. It would be very interesting to see what that data shows. A little bit now for inside baseball of the Libertarian Party and the boys at the Mises Caucus. The Libertarian Party Mises Caucus are going to love this one as they've been posting about it all day and all weekend now because it's Saturday night. Former Libertarian Party National Chairman, blah, 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 Nick Sarwark lost his election bid for the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire treasurer. He was trying to win an election bid to be treasurer. He lost it to nobody. For those unfamiliar in the Libertarian Party, there's a kind of strange and weird tradition where you can vote for NOTA. NOTA, for those that don't know, stands for none of the above. So Nick Sarwark, and I always mispronounce his last name, lost to nobody. He lost to nobody. That's pretty sad. People would have rather had nobody, none of the above, which was just Nick, than Nick. That's how bad it's gotten for the former party chairman. And thank goodness. You know, he hasn't fully slipped off into obscurity yet, but he's on his way. And hopefully with this, we'll just see less and less of him. Of course, he has to clap back with some things, you know, because all he's got is Twitter, and 10 people will go like his Twitter account and his tweet. So good for him. He can entertain those people. The rest of us are going to move the party forward. So goodbye, Nick. It's your swan song. I would say take it graciously, but you seem to be unaware of how to do that. And the last thing I want to hit on this week, I guess that makes this probably a shorter episode. We'll see how long this takes, though. Today, like I said, when I'm recording, this is March 20th. It is the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq by the United States military. And, you know, what is this now, 18 years? Because that was in 2003. I was in high school when it started. Many of you listening were probably the same. Maybe middle school, maybe elementary school. We've gotten to the point now that people that can now go to the Iraq War may not have even, you know, people that can go into the military now may not have even been alive when the Iraq War started. We passed that mark for the war in Afghanistan a couple years ago. And now it's going on in Iraq, and there's still troops there today. Yeah, it's not the same mission that it was, but it's the same impact. And what impact is that, you might ask? What is he talking about? Destabilizing the region. Destabilizing that entire region. Millions and millions and millions of people thrown into utter chaos. For what? No reason. No reason whatsoever. Oh, but Saddam was hiding weapons of mass destruction. We know that was a lie. It's the same lie that the Washington Post and the New York Times pushed, along with others. They weren't the only ones. They pushed this lie on the American public. They took whatever the government had to say. They didn't question a word of it. Didn't even question it. Said, yep, government says there's weapons of mass destruction. There must be weapons of mass destruction. We're going to print it as if it's fact. Didn't question any of it. All to the expense of trillions of dollars wasted, thousands of American lives wasted, hundreds of thousands of Arab lives and people from the Middle East, their lives wasted, millions displaced. I mean, when the war started, Baghdad was a city of 4 million people. By 2007, there was maybe a million people left. Where'd they all go? Now, granted, they didn't all die. They weren't all killed in the streets, but they all left to get out of that war. We've talked about it before here on the podcast. We need to be the pro-peace generation. If electing people is your thing and you believe that the political process is still the way to do this, then you need to elect politicians to offices that can stop this madness. Stop sending young men and women overseas to die or kill, you know, as if that's not a problem too, right? Of course, that's glorified in the United States, sending the military off, sending these young men and women off to die or kill in these countries that most people can't find on a map. So thank you, neocons. Thank you. It's not even just neocons, right? I mean, gosh, Obama kept that stuff going too. Heck, he added more troops. This stuff doesn't end. It's not a left versus right. It's an authoritarian versus everybody else. And we're everybody else. We want to be left alone. We don't want our children to go become murderers overseas. We don't want them to die overseas for nothing. Nobody's freedom, none of ours, none of the freedom in the United States was at jeopardy because Saddam was the dictator of some country that nobody cared about. Backwater country. And of course, I say this not trying to offend the people of Iraq, but the country doesn't rate. It just doesn't rate. I mean, not many people know this. When the United States actually invaded, Saddam didn't think it was going to happen, by the way. He thought it was just going to be all a farce. Like, this is just so George W. Bush can look tough on TV. He believed this so much, the military was not prepared for a fight. No defensive positions set up. Until about the very end when they started getting bombed and they said, oh, we got to get something set up. He was writing a novel. Saddam was writing a novel. This evil guy that's going to, oh, he hates the West and he just, oh, he's the worst in the world. He's writing a novel. So there you go. Had to put an end to that. The United States just couldn't let that go on at the expense of thousands of American lives, tens of thousands of Iraqi lives, and millions displaced. We need to be the pro-peace generation. We need to do what our parents and the generations before us failed to do. No more wars. None. This is madness. This country now just seems to live off of war, off the murder of people. We need to stop this. We need to put an end to it. We cannot allow it to go any further. Because soon our generation will have kids old enough to join these services and to go off into war. Nobody wants their kid to do it. Nobody should. There's nothing more beautiful on this earth, I would think, more desirable than peaceful existence. The United States, see, that's the thing. You know, the United States has the power, has the military might. These United States have the power. They have the military might, right? To stay peaceful with everybody. Nobody is going to attack the United States. You might get terrorist attacks and threats like that, yes. But you're not going to get nations attacking these United States. They're not going to do it because these United States have the military power to back it up, to defend themselves quite effectively. So what does the government do? Decides to just send men and women off to die, you know, for pointless wars, right? Peaceful existence is totally achievable. It's not that hard, at least for these United States, right? There's other countries that, of course, will not, you know, they'll have conflict with their neighbors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, here in these United States, there's oceans on both sides. Our neighbors are Canada and Mexico. Get along pretty well with them. There is no reason to be sending future generations, the next generation, off to kill and off to be murdered, off to die in these places. Oh, but what about the terrorists, Leo? What about the terrorists? Why do you think there are terrorists? Why do you think they hate us? They hate the United States not because we're free, like Rick Santorum would have you believe. Those people hate the United States and the people that live here and the government because the United States has been bombing their countries for the last 30 years. Been killing their brothers and sisters and moms and dads and sons and daughters. You want to make a terrorist? You want to know why there's terrorists? How one terrorist starts? Kill somebody's son or daughter or their parents or their brother or sister. You'll find out real quick how to make a terrorist. And the United States has been perfect at it. Perfected it. Perfected it so much that it's now found itself in an endless war in Afghanistan that's going to turn 20 years old this fall, and another endless war in Iraq. These policies are unacceptable, and they should be challenged at every turn. We cannot let this continue. The boomer generation failed. We cannot fail. We need to be the pro-peace generation. This is, gosh, I tell you guys, if there's one issue that I am hard on, that I am all about, it is the pro-peace movement. I've seen firsthand for, gosh, well over a decade now, the destruction that the United States military has brought upon these people that were minding their own business. Heck, in Afghanistan, they don't even know where the United States is, most of them. You have a country for Afghanistan where maybe 30% of the male population maybe can read. Yeah, that's a great threat to the United States. Need to lose thousands of American lives, spend trillions of dollars in a place that they don't even know where the United States is. I say it again, we need to be the pro-peace generation. The lives of hundreds of thousands depend on it. And we can and will do better. Before I sign off here this week, I want to remind you guys of the awesome affiliate program that I am a part of. So if you go to my website, coffeebreakliberty.com, up at top there is a tab for affiliate. Click on that tab and you'll get all the details on how to join the affiliate program. In short, you have to buy a website through Bluehost. Who is Bluehost? Bluehost are the guys that host my website and podcast. This podcast you're listening to right now is hosted by Bluehost on their servers, etc., etc., etc. It's all good. They're awesome. They do a great job. So if you start a website, which you should all be doing, should all be starting a website, by the way, for your personal brand, your business. If you're going to start this website, use that link in the affiliate program on my website. Start this website with Bluehost, then let me know about it. When you get it up and running, you know, the name and all that, and I will give you free publicity. I will shout it out here on the show, on the blog, on the Facebook page, which is about to pass now 1,800 people, personal social medias as well, because I want to get the word out for your new website. So like I said, that is at coffeebreakliberty.com in the upper tab, affiliate, and sign up through there. And then you got to let me know. And that's going to wrap it up here for this week. I hope you guys have a great and safe week, and I can't wait to talk to you again. Take care.